If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. This is just a light study, a topical study tonight. Just keep your Bibles open. We'll go through a few passages of Scripture. Light but instructive. Psalm 111, 111. The Bible says in verse 1 of Psalm 111, "Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." Well, you're the congregation. And tonight we're going to talk about praising the Lord. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we ask you tonight, help us to be able to have a really good study in the Word of God concerning praising you. Lord, I pray for the teens and other classes, the Bible club going on tonight, that you will fill those teachers with your Holy Spirit. And I pray those who have come today will be blessed by the things they hear. Lord, I pray for all these that are gathered here, and I ask you please to help us to be able to show them something from the Word of God that will be a great encouragement to all of us. And show us, Lord, what you've recorded in your word that will help us to understand how to praise you. And we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So when we get together in the congregation, we're to praise the Lord. And part of what we do, in addition to what we've already done, which is allow you the opportunity to give a testimony about something the Lord has done good in your life, we get together and we'll sing. That's what the hymn books are for, and that allows us the opportunity to praise the Lord. And so tonight what we want to do is we just simply want to talk about how we are to praise the Lord according to some things that we find in the Scripture. And here we find, first of all, in Psalm 111, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord." What are the next four words? "With my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." With my whole heart. Or we are to praise the Lord with our whole heart. Now, you know, particularly on Wednesday, for me, it is difficult for me to praise the Lord with my whole heart. Because I got a day's worth of stuff just like you that we've been doing. And some other things, you know, the transition is pretty quick. You walk in, 7 o'clock is here, piano's playing, turn to such and such and start singing, and it's kind of like I'm just sort of getting warmed up into what we're getting ready to do tonight. You ever feel that way? Well, he tells us when we're praising the Lord, we're to praise the Lord with our whole heart. And a way to do that, because he says we're to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. A way to do that is for us to be conscious of the fact that we have now entered as a congregation and we have been given an opportunity to praise the Lord. And really, the song service is not just an order of service. Well, we get in here, the first thing we do is sing. Then the preacher gets up and he says, "Who wants to praise the Lord?" And we make a few comments about that. Randy gets up and does the missionary thing. And he gets up, whoever's teaching that night, give a little lesson. Then we take a few prayer requests and go to the house. That segment there where we're given the opportunity to praise the Lord is preparation for something we're going to be doing for all of eternity. If you've read that book of Revelation, you know that around that throne where Jesus Christ is, there are a whole bunch of people. Matter of fact, when John tried to count them, he got up over 100 million. And there is quite a thing going on up there in praising the Lord. And so when we get together, what we want to do is we want to be conscious of the fact that when the piano is playing and it is time to sing, that for that moment, for that time, we want to leave every care and concern aside. The appointments of the day, the funny things we did a couple of days ago that we're still regretting, you know, April the 15th in a couple of days. Any of that stuff. Just for a little while. We're going to leave that aside. Get a hymn book and put our whole heart into what we're doing. Now, if you've ever coached or participated in athletics. You know, in a team sport, you'll hear the coach say sometimes, you need to put your whole heart into it. And what he's noticing is that the team is not fully engaged in the contest. And so he wants them to become more concentrating, more fervent, more earnest in their opportunity to win. Well, the same is true in singing. It is an opportunity for us to put our whole heart into magnifying our God and our Savior. You know, the cool thing is, people say, well, we're all worshiping the same God. You've heard that before from other religions. Other religions don't have a hymn book to their God. You do. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then when your whole heart is in it, you're actually thinking about what you're singing there. You know, I hate to confess this, but there are songs that I've sung because they're common, and really wasn't thinking about the words. But when you get your whole heart in it and start thinking about the words you're singing, some of those songs are phenomenal, the testimonies they have in praising the Lord. So, first of all, we're to praise the Lord with our whole heart. Look at a couple of other passages real quick. Psalm 86, verse 12. Psalm 86, verse 12. Psalm 86, verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. In other words, this is not like it is at home when you're having a conversation with your spouse and one says to the other, did you hear what I just said? Your mind drifted off somewhere. He says, I will praise thee with all my heart. Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Look at verse 1. See what the Bible says. This is David. This is written to be accompanied by a musical instrument because it's to the chief musician. He says in verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Whole heart into it. So that's the first thing. How do we praise the Lord when we come together in this congregation? First of all, with our whole heart. Secondly, look at Psalm 149. Psalm 149. We praise the Lord, and I've already mentioned it, but I want you to see that it's Scripture. We praise the Lord with a song. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 149, look at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. So there's instruction in the Scripture for us to praise the Lord with a song. Isn't it wonderful? It's already written out for you. You don't have to make it up. He says with a new song, well, we'll take their new song. There's 500 and some odd of them. We'll sing those. And if you become familiar with music, you actually see that there are notes there, and they tell you how long you're to sing a particular word and what the pitch is supposed to be of that song, so that if you can read it, you can actually see how to find the melody or an accompanying part like an alto or a tenor or a bass, and you sing that song. And you hear sometimes when the ensembles, soon the Young at Heart Choir will sing another special in four-part harmony, and the stuff is beautiful. With a song. Look at Psalm 109. Psalm 109 at verse 30. Psalm 109, look at verse 30. I will greatly... There's a whole heart. I will great Psalm 109, verse 30. I will greatly praise the Lord. What's the next three words? With my mouth. With my mouth. You know, when you sing, when we all sing together, you can actually be a little bit fanatical and nobody will know it because we're all singing the same thing. what I'm making light of is sometimes people will praise the Lord with their mouth. You'll be here and you'll hear somebody, amen. during the preaching. And what they're doing is they're praising the Lord with their mouth. When I was in school, we had a fellow that used to do that, and he did it so that everybody would know that he was praising the Lord. In other words, he wasn't doing it to praise the Lord, he was doing it to praise himself. And so the timing of his amen was always off. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior, you'll go to heaven, the preacher would say. But I'll tell you what, if you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to go to hell and go, amen. And you're like, you missed it. You're supposed to have done that back there. What are you doing? And he had a really peculiar way of saying it too. He didn't say amen. He said ape men. Ape men. I can remember one time we were in a class, I think it was on visitation. And he used to sit right where Kate is sitting, but in that classroom, that chair was about the third step down. So he was right there. And that whenever he would do it, it was so off time, he always threw that teacher. And that teacher told me one time, he said, every time he does that, my first reaction is I want to jump, and the second reaction is I want to knock his head off. So we'd been through all that stuff. It was getting late in the year, and the teacher was teaching, and it was a 50-minute class. He was 45 minutes into the class, and the guy had never done it. Well, the teacher and I had already talked about this on a couple of occasions, so I knew what he was thinking, and sure enough, as he was teaching, he looked up over at me and he kind of smiled and sort of did that. And I knew what he was talking about. The guy hadn't jumped him. He looked down there to about get to the conclusion about that time. Ape man! Boy, it really took him off guard. So when he says, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth, we certainly can do that at some times. But that's a little fanatical, particularly when it's so poorly timed. When we sing together with our mouths, you can be fanatical and not even stand out in the crowd because everybody's singing with a song. How do we praise the Lord? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. With a song, with our whole heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Notice verse 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 19. And the Levites are the children of the Kohathites. What's going on here? Well, Jehoshaphat has a prayer, and what's happened here is that Judah is being attacked in verse 1 by Moab, Ammon, and some of the people from Mount Seir is what's happened. He's prayed, and the Lord says, you're not going to have to fight. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. So they're not going to have to fight. And boy, they are really excited about that. And this is the one where the singers sing, and the three armies destroy themselves, and then they just go down to pick up the spoil. Well, look what happens in verses 18 and 19. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. How do we praise the Lord? He said, with a loud voice. With a loud voice. You know that what's gone wrong in the time of praise in mainline denominational churches is they still have the hymns. Some of them even like yours, Amazing Grace. But nobody praises the Lord with a loud voice. They just mumble through the songs very, very quietly. Did any of y'all come out of another kind of a church besides a church like this and see what I'm talking about? When we were in Beeville, we were in the Methodist church for 5 years, and when they had the song service, it was nothing to it. You just got up and kind of mumbled through the song. And that was the way that we did it. That's not really praising the Lord. I mean, and I don't want to compare to something that's fleshly, but if you've ever gone to a ball game or something like that and somebody knocks a home run or scores a touchdown, you know, the people don't just sit back there in their seats and go, "Wow, that was great. Did you see that? That was good." Do they? No, they go crazy. They yell and scream, do all kinds of things like that. All of us know how to raise our voices. And so when you're here, you say, "Well, you know what, if I'm singing, I don't sing well." How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you, you know, a bunch of you are nodding like that, "I don't sing well at all." You know something? Who made your voice? Who made your ear? You know, the Lord did, and truly some people don't sing well because they don't have a good ear, that's what they call it, for music. And so they sing off key a little bit. That's not so good if you have to stand up here and sing a solo. As a matter of fact, it'd be excruciating. We'd be shouting with a loud voice, but it wouldn't be so much in praise. It'd be like, "Oh." But when you're singing in a congregation and raising your voice, you may not think that you sing so well, but I believe that the God who made your voice and made your ear, I believe He accepts that. I really do. And so to sing with a loud voice, this is what they did here. You know, and then, of course, the Lord really did. He set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and they won that battle. It's okay to sing and sing loud and sing a little off key when you're singing to praise the Lord, because you're really not trying to impress the person that's next to you. You're just trying to praise the Lord. You ever sing in the shower? Yeah. Well, when you're here, sing like you're singing in the shower. Don't get nervous. It's okay. I told y'all what happened up in Wisconsin one time. There was a guy named King that went up there to plant a church. This was 1993. His whole family was musical. I think there were 9 kids in that family, and all of them played instruments and sang, and his wife sang. And this was a 4 or 5 day conference, and Pastor Keck said, "You know, Brother King, I see all your family up here, but I've never seen you up here. Don't you ever sing with them?" He said, "I only sing in the shower." So Sunday morning, Pastor Keck called him up there and said, "Brother King, I want you to come up here." And he said, "That'd be fine." So he came up there and he said, "Yeah, what would you have me to do?" And he reached in under the pulpit and he brought out a shower nozzle on a stand and put that on the pulpit. And he reached under the pulpit and he pulled out a shower cap and put it on the guy's head. And he said, "Have at it, brother. Praise the Lord." It was awful, but it sure was good. Only in the shower. You know something? I think the Lord, I really do. Have you ever heard a child sing a song and not sing it correctly, or quote a verse of scripture and misquote it? But weren't you pleased at their effort? Of course. And I look at us as God's children. He says, "You know what? That's as good as the guy can do." And I'm pleased with that. With our whole heart, with a song, with a loud voice. Look in this in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 at verse 30. How else should we praise the Lord? 2 Chronicles chapter 29, look at verse 30. This is Hezekiah. And Hezekiah has cleansed the house of God, and they've offered sacrifices, and now they are singing. Look in verse 27, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 27. Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained of David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord, with the words of David and of Asaph the seer, and they sang praises with, what's the next word? Gladness. And they bowed their heads and worshiped. When we praise the Lord, we ought to praise the Lord with gladness. Has He not done such great things for you? Do you know something? Do you know what you were before you got saved? Have you reflected on that any time lately? I don't like to go back and think about those days, really. But every once in a while when I'm up in the morning reading Proverbs, you'll read something in there about what you were like. You know, when you read one of those passages about the fool before you got saved, and you kind of meditate on that, because the next part of the proverb is going to change, you know, to something else, and you think back on that and just imagine where we were before God saved us and what He's done for us. And listen, He's given us great friends in the church, a great place to be on Sundays and Wednesdays. He's given us great men, Tony and Randy, to help us in our lives, in the ministry, and to minister for us in certain capacities, like going out on the ships and blah, 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 all that stuff. You've eaten today? Has anybody not eaten today that wanted to eat and couldn't? You've gotten to eat today. If you're married, you have a spouse that loves you. If you're not, you got a family that loves you. If not, this family loves you. God loves you. Don't you ever just think about God and get happy? I remember, and it's not really so appropriate, it just came to mind though. When I was a freshman in high school, I went to the Oblate Seminary in San Antonio thinking I was going to become a priest. So that was almost 50 years ago. And back in those days, there was a song, you know, like all the other songs, popular songs that were out. And one of the guys that was an athlete, when he was in the shower, used to sing it so loud that you could be outside of the gym where the field was, the football field, and you could hear him singing in the shower. And the song went, "I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad." Now, there's not a whole lot of substance to it. But the thing about that I remember is that when he sang that song, he sang it with all he had in that shower, because nobody else was in there. We were all out on the field, and I look around, everybody's smiling. You know what happened? We all got glad. When we praise the Lord, it should be with gladness. Why? The worst thing that is ever going to happen to you on this side of glory is death, and it is going to put you immediately in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, that ought to put a smile on your face. I mean, some of us will go out kind of in a skid. You know, some of us will go out like we're going off a cliff. Okay? Either way, I'm glad. I know where I'm going. So do you. Say, "Yeah, preacher, but you don't know, I got some things." Listen, do you know that God knows every sour situation in your life right now? And who do you think's in control of that? Ultimately, I mean you, I'm talking about you. Not the circumstance, I'm talking about you. God's in control of you. Tonight we're going to pray for the Bennetts. And the greatest cheerleader that Dale Bennett has is Norma Bennett. And I mean, she has been in his corner just rooting him on this whole way. And they had to go back up to MD Anderson and have a procedure, done, and send a text, and we'll be home in a few days. And a few days has turned into weeks, and now he's in ICU. And you know that you know if you've been through this, you got to know how Norma's feeling right now. because of the, you know, it's, I'm cheering, but it's going the other direction. May I tell you something? I don't know, and you don't know the outcome of that procedure and his now visit in ICU, but I guarantee you, if this wears him out and leads to his death, the second his eyes behold Jesus Christ, he would not even ask for permission to come back and tell his wife, it's okay. It's going to be that good. It's going to be that good. And you know something? It is possible for us to praise the Lord with gladness even in sad times. Because God's got this. God's got this. Doesn't He? He really does. He's got this. With gladness. Notice also in verse 30, he said, moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness. Woo-hoo! It's good to be saved. Sing so they can hear you in the field. And watch it. They bowed their heads and worshiped. That's what happened with Jehoshaphat. Bowed their heads and worshiped. You know what? How are we to praise the Lord? With humility. With humility. Because He is the King. He is the God. He is the Savior. And we're just the children. And I mean, we can bow. We don't have to bow our heads. Bow our hearts before Him. And when we're praising Him, magnify how great He is by comparison. Listen, the world takes exactly the opposite view. They're doing everything they can to tear Him down. They cuss Him in the movies. They deny Him in schools and say that we evolved. They deny that He exists. They're tearing Him down. We get to come in here and say, hey, don't listen to all that nonsense. Listen to us. We're going to lift you up. And He'll be refreshed. Be refreshed by the voice of His people who humbly bow before Him and say, don't listen to what they have to say. We know You're the greatest. We are convinced You are the best. With humility. And then finally, Ezra chapter 3, and look at verse 11. How are we to praise the Lord? With our whole heart. With a song. With a loud voice. With gladness. With humility. And then Ezra 3:11. With a shout. They sang together, Ezra 3:11. This is the foundation of the temple has been laid, and boy, they're getting excited. They sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because He is good. Is the Lord good? He really is. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. With a shout. Like a preacher said one time, and we're not a shouting congregation, I got that. But like a preacher said one time, he says, the church has lost its shout. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to get us, how's He going to come? Well, He's going to come with a shout. When you have to call your kids at a distance, do you say, Billy, would you come here, please? You know, they're 300 yards away. No, it's, Billy! Oh, yes, ma'am. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Listen, if when you are praising the Lord with your whole heart, with a song, with a loud voice, with gladness and with humility, if it stirs your heart, it's okay to say, amen. I'd rather that than amen. It's okay to say, praise the Lord. You see, there's no written rule about how you're to do that. You say, yeah, but the person next to me, yeah, will know that you're praising the Lord with a shout. Something about that song ministered to you today. You don't do that to impress people. You don't do that in order to let people know that you're right with God. I remember when I first went to Pensacola, long before I went to school there. We were there on a Sunday, and they had street preaching on Saturday. There was a guy sitting about where Miss Irene is sitting. And from ever for a day, from that day that I heard him, I called him Yosemite Sam. I still don't know what his real name is. But he was the only guy in the class that didn't show up for street preaching Saturday. He skipped. And so when the song leader took the first song, like Yosemite Sam used to say, he just, amen. Nobody else had even really started singing. And I said to my wife, I said, he's just doing that. Because I was sitting behind him when he got caught for not street preaching. I said, he's just doing that to let everybody know he's still right with God. You don't shout to do that or to impress anybody or to get their attention. You do it because something about that song ministered to you, and you'd have done the same thing in your car when you heard it as you do here. And it's what they did when they were praising the Lord. It's okay. Particularly when God really comes through for you. And He will. And He has. And He will again. So when we praise the Lord, you just see a little bit of instruction here in the Scripture. And we sing. This is our opportunity as a church to let Him know what we really think about Him. He's really something. So that's why we waited till now to do our song service. So we could find out from the Scripture what the Lord has instructed us to do about it.